keep you all night, okay? I was thinking how privileged, Pastor, you were to go to a Bible college with men like this. I wish I could say that about mine. In the 5 years I spent in Bible college, it was a 5-year course. I just want to clarify that. I was supposed to be there 5 years. They needed more money, so they added another year. But anyhow, in the 5 years I was there, I could only remember one teacher that ever made mention of leading a soul to Jesus Christ. The education I have in the ministry today has not come from the college I went to, but it came from what we call the University of Hard Knocks. I haven't graduated from that yet. I'm still in it. It's a tough school because you get the test first and then you learn the lesson, you know. But tonight, we're going to look at a man who missed the obvious. And because he missed the obvious, it cost him dearly and severely, not just his life, but his children and his grandchildren and his great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren through all and every generation thereafter, because he missed it. Have you ever missed the obvious? I grew up in a time of TV westerns, you know. It's like, would you remember an old cowboy who used to wear a mask, had a silver bullet? Who was that guy? The Lone Ranger. I remember he had an Indian friend. Who was his Indian friend? Tonto. And he always called the Lone Ranger Kimosabe. I don't know what that ever meant. But anyhow, well, I heard when the Lone Ranger found out what that meant, he really smacked Tonto good. But anyhow, they were out on the range, and they were sleeping. At about 3 o'clock in the morning, the Lone Ranger starts poking, jabbing Tonto. Tonto said, Kimosabe, what is wrong? Tonto, look up, what do you see? Oh, Kimosabe, we see star. Many stars! We see moon. Tonto, what does that tell you? Oh, it tell me, Kimosabe, there is vast universe. Many stars, many planets, many suns. What else does it tell you, Tonto? Oh, Kimosabe, it tell me there is great creator who make all of this. What it tell you, Tonto? What it tell you, Kimosabe? So, Tonto, you dummy, it tells me somebody stole our tent. And you know, sometimes we miss the obvious. It's right there. 2 Kings chapter 5 in your Bible. Follow along tonight as we look. Now, Nahum, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor. But he was a leper. A great man. A mighty man. The Bible says many great things about him. A captain in the host of the army of Syria. The Bible says he was honorable. He had great victories. He was a man that was mighty in valor. But yet there was something in his life. There was something in his being that hindered him. And that was the awful disease of leprosy. We don't understand much of leprosy in America. We don't see it like in some other parts of the world. But it's a terrible disease. I remember as a young lad sitting in a church, and a missionary who was a missionary to the leper colonies came on a Sunday night. They dimmed the lights, and this was way before PowerPoint. He had a slide projector. Some of you kids are saying, Dad, what's a slide projector? We'll tell you later. That's when we used to have record players too. But anyhow, the lights were dimmed, the screen lit up. And there was a map of the country he was going to. And the next slide came. It was he and his wife. And he began giving testimony of God calling them to the leper colonies. And he began showing some of those slides. I sat there that night in that Sunday night service, spellbound, looking at the effects of that terrible disease. I saw hands that had no fingers for leprosy had eaten them off. I saw people with no nose for leprosy had eaten it away. I saw people with no ears and no feet because the awful disease of leprosy was upon a terrible, terrible disease. And here was a great man, but there was something afflicting him that hindered him. There was something of great dismay in his life, the awful sin of leprosy. But there was a little slave girl that knew somebody. There was a little slave girl that says, "Hey, why didn't you go down to the man of God? Why didn't you go down to him?" And Nahum does that. He gets down there. And when he gets there, and verse number, after the king had rent his clothes, and Elisha heard it in verse 8, and it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, he sent to the king saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know there is a prophet in Israel. He shall know that there is a God. He shall know that there is hope in this one." Well, the Bible says so. Nahum came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent out a messenger unto him saying, "Go wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." He had the answer. He went to the right place. He got the right counsel. He did the right thing. He heard what he needed. Notice his reaction. But Nahum was wroth and went away. He got mad because he didn't like what the preacher told him. He got mad because he didn't like the word of the Lord that was unto him and what needed to be done. It was the answer to his problems. It was the answer to his disease. But yet he didn't like it. Why? Because the next verse says, well, within that, in verse 11, Nahum was wroth and went away and said, "Behold, I thought." I thought. I thought. Well, that's not how I see it. That's not how I perceived it. That's not how I would have envisioned it. You hear that all the time with people in the church. "Well, I thought this, or I thought that, and I think this." Folks, it makes no difference what I think. It makes no difference what you think. It makes no difference what the preacher. What makes a difference? It's what God wants. And when two walk together, they must be agreed. For the Bible says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? And so Nathan, "I thought he would surely come out to me. After all, I'm the captain of the host of Syria. Doesn't he know who I am? Doesn't he realize the person that he is dealing with?" Folks, God is no respecter of persons tonight. "I thought he'd come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the stuff." You know what he was looking for? A show. He would have loved some of these TV evangelists. He would have loved the show that they put on. "All right, strike him with the hand. People falling down and people rolling over. And all, I thought he would do it this way." That's not how I thought he should act. And he got mad when he got the counsel for what he really needed. And then he begins to say, "Listen, why do I have to go down that muddy, dirty old Jordan? Are there not better rivers? Why do I have to go down there? There are better rivers that I don't have to go down to that Jordan, muddy old river down there. Why can't I go there? And why can't I be recover my leprosy there?" Thank God he had a servant that was smarter than him. Thank God he had a servant that had some brains to him. And the servant says, "Look, if he told you to do something hard, you would do it. Why don't you just take the simplicity of his instructions and follow it?" Folks, I'm a little embarrassed by this because I find myself like that sometimes. I'm always thinking that, oh, this is hard, this is hard. But the simple things of the Lord really is what God wants from us. And salvation is so simple. That's what makes it hard for so many folks. If I told them, oh, you had to go to church so many times, and you had to say so many prayers, and you had to give so much money, folks would do that. But to say to call upon the name of the Lord, well, that's too hard for them. And so Nahum goes down. And he goes down, and as he went down, he came to the river, verse 14, and he went down. And I could imagine everybody saying, what's Nahum doing? What's Nahum doing? Look at him. Look. Look. Oh, wow. Look, he's going in the water. Is he going for a swim? Look, 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 look. He's going down under the water. Wow. Oh, look, look, look. He's going down again. He goes down and he comes up out of the water and he goes, nothing. Two times, three times, four times, five times, nothing. And maybe everybody's starting to make jokes about him right now. He goes down six times. Nothing. Maybe he was tempted to quit. Said, this isn't working. But he went down the seventh time. When he went down the seventh time, the Bible says, his flesh came again, in verse 14, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. When you do what God tells you to do, and don't quit too early, God will bless you. You will get the blessing. So many people are on the verge of being blessed, and they're saying, this isn't working. I tithe, it's not working. I'm giving the mission. Look, folks, we do what we do because we are commanded of our God to love the lost, to give our tithe, and to obey His word. But many people quit too early. And old Nahum was cleansed. Then I want you to notice what he did. And he returned to the man of God. He went back to the one that helped him. He didn't forget the one that gave him the instruction. And he went back to the man of God. And this is what he did. He says, preacher, boy, that was a real blessing. Look, I want to give you some. Here, preacher, take a gift. Take some money. I want you to notice what the preacher did. He said, in verse 16, but he said, as the Lord liveth before whom I stand, I will receive none. Can you imagine a preacher turning down an offering? He said, but preacher, you have me. Hey, preacher, God bless you. No more do I have to go down and shout, unclean, unclean, unclean. No more do I have to cover my face. No more do I have to live with this disease. Oh, preacher, bless the God of Israel. I know there is no God in Israel, but your God. Take the gift. But Elisha said, no. Why? Because he knew that the ministry was not for sale. Now, folks, I've been with you for 3 days. This is my third day with you. And I got to tell you, you're an easy people to fall in love with. I mean that. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. You're so warm, so gracious. You've treated me so well, and I'm deeply indebted to you. But I want you to know tonight, you are not paying this man to do your preaching for you. I want you to understand that. He preaches because of the call of God on his life. Not because you give him 6- and 7-figure salary. He's got the call of God. You don't pay him to do the preaching that God called him to do. He has done that, and he will do that necessarily for free, because there's no price on the ministry of the man of God. But what you do is that you allow him to live and have a home, pay the electricity bill and the heat bill and everything, so he can give himself to the ministry to help you when you, like Nahum, come with the need in your life, He can give you good counsel from the Word of God. So many times we get the idea, churches get the idea. You say, what's it got to do with missions? You'll see. We're getting there. Because it all has to do with money. And that, as I said last night, is a touchy point with a lot of people when it ought not to be. So Elisha wouldn't take it. Nahum urged him, take it, take it. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. Well, Nahum leaves, and another person comes on the scene, and this is where the message really begins. Again, long introduction, short message. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, behold, my master had spared Nahum, this Syrian, and not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I run after him and take somewhat of him. So Gehazi followed after Nahum, and when Nahum saw him coming after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him, and he said, is all well? And he said, all is well. My master had sent me. Liar! Elisha didn't send him. He went on his own. He said, my master has sent me. And he took from him and gave him silver and gave him clothes, and the men that were with him carried all these things. And they brought it all back, and in verse number 24, and when he had come back into the tower, he took all the gold, the silver, the garments. He took them, from their hand and bestowed them in the house, and he let the men go, and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master, and Elisha said unto him, whence comest thou, Gehazi? Where you been? He said, I can go anywhere. Lie number two. See, folks, when you tell one lie, you're going to have to tell another lie to cover it. Then you're going to have another lie. There's no end. Somebody said a liar has to have a good memory to remember what he tells people and hope that these people don't come together. And he said, I didn't go anywhere. But the man of God knew differently. And verse 26. And he said unto him, went not mine heart with thee when the man turned aside from his chariot to meet thee? Is it time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and manservants and maidservants? The leprosy, therefore, of Nahum shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence, a leper, white as snow. His life would never be the same. His children would never be the same. His grandbabies would never be the same. I can't help but to think, perhaps in my mind, that some of the lepers that I saw on the screen that night, I wonder if we were to trace a family tree back, if some of them might not have gone back to Gehazi. You see, here's where the message comes in. The name Gehazi literally means vision valley or visionary in the valley. If there was ever a man that did not have the proper vision, the proper perspective in vision, it was Gehazi. He was like looking through the wrong end of a telescope. Did you ever do that? I mean, oh, we're all as kids, right? You turn the telescope backwards, you're like, and everything that's supposed to be up close now is far away. He just did not see the things the way God saw them. And tonight, I wonder, do we have valley vision tonight? Do we have valley vision tonight? I don't want valley vision. I want mountaintop vision tonight. Because you see, Gehazi, all he saw was the money. All he saw was the immediate. All he saw was the physical. He did not see the spiritual end of Elisha's ministry. He saw, but he saw as if in a valley. There was nothing wrong with his vision in the sense it was just his location was so worldly. His location was so in despair that all he saw in the valley were problems and difficulties. And when you have valley vision, you will see, but your vision will be limited. You take a man with 20/20 vision, put him in a valley, he can see. Take that same man with 20/20 vision, put him on the mountaintop, and what happens? He can see so much more. And tonight you say, well, preacher, I have a vision for our church, but is it mountaintop vision or is it valley vision? And Gehazi just did not get it right. He did not see all that God wanted from him. You see, it's in the valley where it gets darkest earliest. It's in the valley where it gets light latest. It's in the valley where you get all the runoff from the mountaintop. It's in the valley where all the dust settles in the valley. And God wants us tonight to move up to a mountaintop tonight. Not in a valley vision. You know, we have a lot of veneer Christians. You know what veneer is, don't you? If you work with, well, you know, some years ago, I was going to get into the furniture business. I was going to get some old junky furniture, fix it all up, stain it, sand it, and sell it for large, embarrassing sums of money. So I was driving along, I found this table, and it had a broken leg. I said, you know, it's a nice looking table. I'm going to get that, I'm going to fix the leg. I'm going to glue it on there. I got it there, and I glued the leg on. It looked pretty good. It was very sturdy. And I noticed the top. I said, well, I'm going to get some of the zip strip and put that on the top, and I'm going to, I got some sandpaper. I did not know what veneer was. Veneer is a thin, thin piece that looks very, very nice on top of junky wood. So I'm zip stripping the thing and scraping, and a lot of stuff is coming off, but it's not getting prettier. And I got some sandpaper, and I started sanding that thing, and the more I sand, the uglier it got. That's when I learned what veneer. Now, you get a nice piece of oak, a nice piece of cherry, or walnut, and you sand that thing, oh, the more you sand it, the more beauty comes out of it. A lot of Christians are like veneer. You look good on the surface. And everything's good. But once the troubles, the trials, and the abrasions start scraping, then the real you comes out. Then that which is in your heart comes out. That's when the greed returns. That's when the anger returns. That's when the bitterness returns. That which is under, because it's only been veneered, when we ought to be genuine through and through. And Gehazi was just that type of person. You see, his problem was he saw the physical instead of the spiritual. Mountaintop vision means seeing the spiritual, not just the material. And Gehazi only saw the pocketbook. That's all he saw. That's all he saw. And God forbid, when we talk about souls and we talk about soul winning, God forbid we would say, hey, preacher, if that man gets saved, you know, he could finance our whole church. God forbid an attitude like that. God forbid an attitude, oh, we got to win it. We want to talk. Do you know what he could do for our ministry? Listen, folks, I don't care if somebody comes and got holes in their shoes. I don't care if they got a ragged shirt on. I don't care if they got $500 suit on. A soul is a soul is a soul. I don't care about the color of their skin. I don't care about their ethnic background. I don't care about their economic state. I care about their eternal destiny tonight. And we must not just see the physical. We had a bus ministry. I told you about that. And one day, one of my deacons come to me. He was a good man, but he got his eyes off Jesus, and some of his veneer started to come off. And he said, preacher, I got to talk to you in your office right now. This was 5 minutes before church. I said, okay, but make it quick. He said, it won't take long. Well, I got in my office, and he closed the door hard. And he turned around, and he said, preacher, ever since you've been bringing in these bus kids, do you know that we have used more toilet paper than ever before? That was his concern. I said, brother, do you know, since we've been bringing in these bus kids, we've had more souls saved and families join the church and baptism than before? We found out that some of the kids, they didn't have toilet paper at home, and they were sneaking it and stinging it home. Once we found that out, we went down and brought big crates and just donated it to all the people. But you see, sometimes we just see the fingerprints on the wall, or we see the mud on the door, or sometimes maybe they're just not as clean as we'd like them to be when they're in church. But folks, I'm going to tell you, unsaved people live and act like unsaved people. But I tell you, once they know Jesus and fall in love with Him, their life changes. And so many times, what do we see? We see the physical. Oh yeah, we see the fingerprints on the wall. And sometimes we see the mud on the carpet. Oh, they're messing up our nice little church. I don't want a church as a showcase. It's a tool to be used. Now, we don't abuse it. Don't misunderstand me. We respect it. But I want to use it. I would be thrilled to see this carpet worn thin. I would be thrilled to see the pews need replacing because so many people come and sitting on them. And that is a good sign. I'm not looking for a showcase ministry. When it comes to missions, this is the thing. So many times, it's not a matter of how many flags we can put up, but it's a matter of how many souls are reached through the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, Pastor told me one time, I was in a revival. I said, "Preacher, listen, I'm here for the week, and whatever you want me to do, I'll be glad to do. If you have a nursing home ministry, I'll be glad to go to the nursing home, whatever." He says, "You know something, Brother Susan? I had a nursing home ministry for 5 years, and in 5 years, we never got a tithing family out of it." How sad. Well, preacher, look at it. We support all this money mission. We should do for our church. How many people are coming at you? It's not about us. It's about Him tonight. And we give to missions, not because someone's going to send. I believe God will bless you, and I believe people will come when you do that. That will happen. But folks, let's stop looking through the wrong end of the telescope tonight. I know you have vision. You wouldn't even have this conference. You wouldn't be here tonight if you didn't have vision. But my question is it valley vision? You only see the problems. You only see the barriers instead of on the top when you see the whole picture. I was meeting with my deacons one night, and I presented a plan for them. I said, "Fellas, this is what I'd like to see done." I had an accountant in my church. If you're an accountant, God bless you. You know how accountants are. Every penny had to be. And he was good. I mean, he was good. And I'm running these figures here. We got to do this and we got to do that, you know. And I see him there and he's got a calculator and he's going like this. And I know he was up to something. And I got all done and I'll never forget it. I got a pen here. Yeah. He had a pen. He's writing everything down. He says, "Preacher, I ran these numbers every which way I could think of, and there's no way in the world this is going to work." I said, "I'll never forget it." He said, "But I believe God's in it." He saw on a mountaintop, and God was in it. And I tell you, we went out and we spent $25,000, and 30 days later, God gave us $30,000 back. I won't get into that tonight. But we need mountaintop vision tonight. You see, when you get discouraged, it's because you're in the valley vision. You have valley vision. When you get disappointed, it's valley vision tonight. And you know, when you're in the valley and you get discouraged, you're going to go right back to where you were when you got saved. Do you ever notice that many times? People backslide, they go right back to where they were when they got saved. After Jesus was crucified, disciples were disappointed. They were despondent, discouraged. The two on the road to Emmaus says, "We trusted Him. We believed in Him. And now He's crucified." Do you remember what Peter said after the crucifixion? "I go fishing." What was he doing when Jesus found him? Fishing. He went right back to it. That's why, folks, it takes mountaintop vision. Where you can see above the valley. tonight. I need to close. That's a simple message, a quick message tonight. But let me close with this so I could just illustrate the point to bring it home. I heard about this dad. He had a little girl, and the little girl was a mama in Walmart. And she saw a string of cheap plastic pearls, you know, costume jewelry. But it caught the little girl's eye. Mama, look at those pearls. They're so pretty. Oh, honey, they're just plastic. Oh, but Mama, they're so beautiful. Mama, can I have them? They're only $1.99. And like every good mother, well, do you have $1.99? She said, no. But can I earn it? Mama said, you know, maybe you can. So the mother bought the pearls, put them in the bag, and they went home. And immediately the girl said, Mama, what can I do? Well, why don't you take out all the trash? And she said, well, God, she did that. And why don't you make them clean up your room and make your bed? And she did it. And she did everything. The mother said, did I earn enough yet? Did I earn? And you know, you want to milk that for as much as you can get, you know? And so the girl did a lot of little things. And pretty soon she said, Mama, did I earn? I says, I think you have. So she gave her the pearls. She put them on. She stood in front of that mirror and, oh, she just loved them. Daddy came out and says, Daddy, look at my pearls. Aren't they beautiful? I said, oh, yes, they're nice, honey. Every night he'd put her to bed and she'd hang up her pearls and she'd look at them. I said, Daddy, look at my pretty pearls. Cheap plastic. One night, Daddy put her to bed and she looking at her pearls and says, honey, do you love Daddy? Do you love Daddy? Oh, yes, of course I love you, Daddy. How much do you love Daddy? Oh, Daddy, I love you this much and more. I said, do you love Daddy enough to give me your pearls? Daddy, boys don't wear pearls. Okay, honey. You left. Next night, the same thing. Honey, do you love Daddy? Daddy, yes, I love you. Do you love me enough to give me your pearls? Daddy, those pearls are just so pretty. I love those pearls just so much. Okay, honey. Next night, same thing. And one night, he said to her, honey, do you love... Yes, Daddy, I love you. And if you want, you could have my pearls. He put his hand out. She reached up and took them off the hook. Put it in her hand. Tears began to come in her eyes. He goes, thank you. Daddy loves you too. Put it in his pocket and he left. She turned her face toward the wall. He heard her sniffling. He heard her crying. And he comes back in the room. He gently knocks on the door and he comes back in the room. Says, honey, what's the matter?
Nothing.
She's learning early as a girl.
Nothing.
Oh, honey, something's wrong. I said, honey, turn around. And she'd been crying. He said, you miss your pearls?
I do.
He said, I forgot. There was something I had for you. And he pulled out a box. A long box. And she goes, what's this, Daddy? He said, I guess you ought to open it to find out. And she opened up, and there was a string of real pearls, more beautiful than those plastic ones. I said, honey, I just want you to give up. That was fake and cheap for that what was real. And folks, that's what it is in missions. We're giving up the fake and the cheap things of this world for the real treasures. Gehazi didn't see that because he had valley vision. Tonight, take your card. I know you have it. Hold it up. Hold it up. The alabaster box, right? Monday night, Sunday night, right? Alabaster box. Tonight, will we give up some of the cheap things of the world and get out of the valley and on the mountaintop tonight? Some of you, I don't know, I'm assuming a crowd like this tonight, on a Tuesday night, probably all of us know Christ as Savior. But if perchance tonight there's a concern for your soul, I want you to know, don't sell out cheap to the devil. He's offering you fake and phony things, but God's offering you the real thing tonight. And you can come tonight and receive Him. But Christian, tonight, you have your card tonight. I'm going to ask you to stand with me, please, right now.